Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Wednesday. Business owner issues empty stocking challenge. An anonymous Odessa donor is challenging other business people to donate to this 25th year of the Empty Stocking Fund by Friday's deadline to give. The donor will match every dollar up to $35,000. Captain Juan Gomez said the anonymous challenge means the chance of a Merry Christmas to many Odessa families. What a delight it was for us to hear this morning that an anonymous donor has stepped up to challenge others to give, Gomez said. This donor is willing to match up to $35,000. If we are able to match this donation dollar for dollar, we are confident we can reach our empty stocking goal of $100,000. Gomez detailed the importance of meeting the goal. It is within our distribution and the families who receive our assistance. I firmly believe many of these parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles tried their best to support their family through the season before they ultimately came to the Salvation Army seeking assistance. It hurts my heart to think we cannot provide them with the support they need because we did not have the funds available. This donation, much like others that have been made to the empty stocking, puts us in a position to say yes. Yes, we can help you and your children. Gomez had high praise for Odessans. The Permian Basin is strong, and the willingness to give is evident. We thank you in advance for all that you've done to help us get closer to reaching our 2019 empty stocking goal. With $31,349 of the needed $100,000 goal as of Tuesday morning, a final push to meet the needs of struggling families is being made. Funds stay in Ector County and help needy families who are struggling to provide a Merry Christmas for their children. These families can be helped through the Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army. Empty stocking funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. Rehab Center hosts Christmas Carnival by Royal McGregor. For nearly a decade, Lynette Jimenez of Odessa and her son have attended the annual Permian Basin Rehab Center Christmas Carnival. The mother of 9-year-old Prometheus Jimenez and 8-year-old Samara Jimenez looked on as her children had their faces painted. Lynette Jimenez said her and her children look forward to attending the PBRC Christmas Carnival. It's a good event that they do every year that they put on for the kids, Jimenez said. It gives the kids a chance to interact with their therapist on a more personal level instead of when they are with them while they are in therapy. They get to interact with other patients. It's just really a good event. The PBRC Christmas Carnival features free food, games, prizes, face painting, and balloons. Kim Ortega, PBRC Executive Director, expected 200 to 300 people to attend Tuesday's Christmas Carnival at the MCM Fun Dome. Ortega also explained there are more than 60 people working and volunteering at the event. We started doing a Christmas party for our patients probably 20 years ago, Ortega said. It has grown bigger over the years, and then we moved to the Fun Dome years ago. It's just turned into a really big fun party for our patients and their families. Ortega said a couple months of planning goes into the event. Within the first 30 minutes of Tuesday's event, there were 100 people in attendance, and Ortega said it's rewarding to see all the PBRC patients and their families celebrating the holidays. It makes us happy that our patients and their families can have something fun to do, Ortega said. Our patients have to work really hard when they are at the rehab center and in therapy. We're trying to get them to do things they can't do or things that are hard for them. This is a chance for them to have fun and be kids. It's a special gift that we give to our patients and families at Christmas. Quick hits. Jumburrito helps food bank. The West Texas Food Bank announced the results of the 10th annual Revolutionary Rewards fundraiser by Jumburrito. Through a total of 22,806 visits, Jumburrito Revolutionary Rewards members raised $11,403 for the West Texas Food Bank, which helped provide over 45,600 meals. This is the 10th year Jumburrito and the West Texas Food Bank have partnered during the holidays. Jose Cuevas Jr., owner of Jumburrito, says, "We are truly inspired by our customers. They have responded with great enthusiasm every year, and they love that our rewards club not only creates value for them, but also focuses on helping others in need. They can even look at their receipt and keep track of how many meals their visits have personally created for someone in need." The food bank is on track to distribute 7 million pounds of food this year through a 19-county area. A check will be presented Thursday from Jumburrito to the West Texas Food Bank. On the net, WTXFoodBank.org. Concert. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church Chorale will perform from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday at Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard. The diverse collection of religious musical pieces by the chorale will be led by Parish Director of Music David McIntyre. Musical works selected are based off of religious texts in the Sacred Scripts, 1,000 Years of Religious Text Exhibition. The event is free and open to the public. Police looking for man involved in Walmart robbery and assault. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly searching for a man who assaulted a Walmart employee after stealing nearly $200 worth of electronics. The reported robbery and assault happened at 10:25 p.m., October 11th, at the Walmart, located at 4210 North JBS Parkway. Investigation reportedly showed a man stole $188 worth of electronics and exited the store without making any attempt to pay. When a Walmart employee confronted the suspect, the man assaulted the employee and fled the scene in a Chevrolet Silverado. Anyone with information about the robbery or assault is asked to contact Detective S. Chavez at 432-335-4926 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 19-34106. Teachers expanding neuroscience studies in ECISD. A group of educators from Ector County ISD recently got a chance to attend a training workshop with Backyard Brains, Do-It-Yourself Neuroscience in Ann Arbor, Michigan. With the training, the teachers can bring real-world, inquiry-based learning to students. ECISD will be adding a new high school course in neuroscience for the 2020-2021 school year, and George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa will be the first school offering the course. From designing a neuroprosthetic and performing circuit surgery on cockroaches to electrical experiments with plants, teachers were able to get their hands on opportunities for students to become a neuroscientist in the classroom. This professional learning workshop was coordinated through the ECISD Innovation Department and its PIC Education Program. Chevron and the Education Foundation of Odessa funded the training, which allowed teachers to take a deep dive into neuroscience, electrophysiology experiments, and programming. FBCU thanks community members for holiday gifts. First Basin Credit Union thanked community members who helped collect holiday gifts for more than 180 children in West Texas. Gifts included winter coats, shoes, pants, blankets, LOL surprise dolls, Barbies, Matchbox cars, and bicycles. FBCU has sponsored Adopt a Star at local branches for 7 years, which benefits High Sky Children's Ranch. For additional information, please visit www.firstbasin.com/adopt-a-star. Death notices from the Odessa American for Wednesday. Nancy Jane White Penny, 86, of Midland, died Sunday, December 15th in Midland. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m. December 20th, North A Church of Christ in Midland. Burial will follow at 1 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Jose Luis Joy Tercero Jr., 39, died Saturday, December 14th. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. James Ray Thornton, 50, of Crescent, died Monday, December 16th, in Fort Worth. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Wiley Funeral Home of Granbury. Cleveland Williams Sr., 92, of Odessa, died Wednesday, December 11th, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, December 20th, at Prayer House Church of God. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Charles Turner is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Maria del Refugio Zubia, 79, of Odessa, died Saturday, December 14th in Chihuahua, Mexico. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, December 19th. Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at the Odessa 2 Garden section of the Ector County Cemetery. Father Fernando is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Flu vaccine with egg allergy. To your good health for Wednesday. Dr. Roach writes, many people, including a pharmaceutical company, have written to question my advice to give any flu vaccine, even those made with eggs, to a person with a history of egg allergy. The prescribing information for flu mist, for example, notes that those with a severe reaction, such as anaphylaxis, should not receive flu mist. However, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention state, people with a history of egg allergy of any severity should receive any licensed, recommended, and age-appropriate influenza vaccine. They caution that people with a history of severe allergic reaction to egg, that is, any symptom other than hives and including anaphylaxis, undergo vaccination by a medical provider who is able to recognize and manage severe allergic conditions. Taken together, several studies have shown that in over 4,000 individuals with egg allergy, including more than 500 people with a history of anaphylaxis, the flu shot was given with zero acute systemic allergic reactions. Because of this demonstrated safety of regular flu shots, I feel that making people search for the egg-free options, flu block and Flucilvax, is unnecessary and may cause some people to forgo vaccination. Interestingly, last year the egg-free vaccines appeared to have about 20% better efficacy than vaccines made with eggs. My own hospital is distributing an egg-free vaccine this year, so that's what I got for my vaccine, my 33rd consecutive annual flu shot. Finally, I want to reemphasize that flu mist is indicated only for those ages 2 through 49.
Hello, this is Becky. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, December 15th, 2019, the Culture section. A piece of Odessa history comes to light. Odessa. Odessa Arts Executive Director. Randy Hamm, has had his eyes set on renovating and creating a public art piece using the Cloth World sign ever since the public art master plan was created in 2014. His vision has come true with a lighting ceremony for the Odessa Spire planned for 6:45 p.m. Monday at 808 Maple Avenue. In 2014, we commissioned a public art master plan for the city of Odessa, Hamm said. During the research of that, we did a lot of community input meetings where we invited the public to tell us what they wanted to see in a public art program for Odessa. In almost every single meeting we went to, somebody asked if something could be done with the Cloth World Tower. People told Odessa Arts during the meetings that the Cloth World sign was part of history and it was sitting there neglected and rusted, Hamm said. They didn't want to see it torn down, but it was an eyesore. The sign is so old that when Hamm went to find drawings for it at the city, they couldn't find them. It was originally built as the sign for Rock Hill Springs Shopping Center, he said. It was constructed in the late 1950s or early 60s. Then it became the Cloth World sign in the 1970s, when Cloth World moved into the shopping center. PAC committee member Richard Gillum and Pinky's owner Austin Keith convinced the sign owner, Keith Utzinger, to donate the sign to the city of Odessa, making it a part of the city's collection, Hamm said. The city then gave Odessa Arts $100,000 to commission a piece of art, Hamm said. The next step was to put out a call for artists. 75 artists from around the country applied for the commission. That number was then narrowed down to 3 finalists, he said. Ray King, from Philadelphia, was the only artist that we thought honored the architecture of this piece while bringing it into the 21st century, Hamm said. We had our artist, we had our sign, but we needed a lot of money to get the structure ready. The sign had been abandoned for more than 20 years, with lead paint and rust, he said. We didn't know if it was going to be able to handle putting a piece of art in it, Hamm said. We did some surveying, and at that point we realized it was a massive undertaking and bigger project than we thought. Toby and Sandra Eoff, the owners of the new Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, went to Odessa Arts with the first $100,000 needed to begin the project, he said. That opened the floodgates to have the FMH Foundation, the Permian Basin Area Foundation, Rhea Charitable Trust, Wood Family Foundation, J.C. Ferguson Foundation, Bryant Family Foundation, Hext Foundation, and all of these community members started donating to this structure, Hamm said. He said that since the structure is so ingrained in the history of the community, Odessa Arts started perceiving sentimental donations from people happy the sign will be preserved. I think it speaks to the goodwill and investment that the community has in the project, Hamm said. He said that when all is said and done, the Odessa Spire will have cost $750,000. King's vision for the Odessa Spire made him a great choice for the preservation and renovation of the public art piece, Hamm said. I love the sign as a piece of mid-century architecture, and I love mid-century design, Hamm said. He, King, didn't really alter it, while some of the artists wanted to alter the structure a lot. He wanted to preserve it and use it as a lighted piece of art. I like the idea of an illuminated spire, which is kind of like a West Texas Eiffel Tower. Public art consultants Dyson and Womack from Los Angeles were the project managers. Hamm said that having someone from the public arts field manage the project was instrumental in getting the project moving and moving quickly. The contractor started on August 1st and finished their remediation around November 10th. King and his team arrived on November, finished the installation on December 1st. It was pretty smooth, but there was one instance when we found a little more corrosion than we thought we were going to, which necessitated some additional welding repairs. Hamm said, for me, to have only one change order from the whole mediation was so great because once we got on the paint off the structure, we didn't know what we were going to find. He said the best part during construction was when they did a test lighting of the spine. One night, while Ray King and his team were finishing up the project, they did a short 15-minute test lighting of the Odessa Spire, Ham said. I got to sit there and watch it illuminate for the first time, and it choked me up a little bit. Ham said the Odessa Spire is giving residents an icon they can claim for years to come. It is going to change the way we talk about public art, Ham said. Most people, when they think of public art, they think of murals and bronze statues. There's nothing wrong with murals or bronze statues, but there is so much more we can do in addition to that. I am really excited by the response we have had. Ham said he feels exhausted but very proud that the Odessa Spire is finished. It is something that I have been living with for a while in my head, and to actually see it for real, it makes it almost surreal, he said. I hope that this very publicly driven piece of public art speaks to generations to come. I hope people are talking about it in 25 years. Lighting the Odessa Spire. The ceremony will start Monday at 6:45 p.m. at 808 Maple Avenue, near Pinky's Liquor. Maple Avenue from 10th Street to 8th Street and 10th Street from Dixie Boulevard to Echo will be closed to traffic beginning at 3 p.m. Voices of the Permian Basin Choir will perform at 6:50 p.m., followed by remarks from Randy Ham, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, and Odessa Mayor David Turner. Toby and Sandra Eoff will flip the switch and light the spire at 7:45 p.m. Having kids is worth all the hard, messy stuff. Melanie Nicholas, columnist. My friend Ashley posted a picture to Facebook of her elementary-age son in the car. His smile was huge as he was getting ready to celebrate his birthday. Ignoring his shining eyes and the enormous fake mustache he was wearing, his Aunt Kim asked, "He's adorable, but what happened to the roof of your car?" Ashley's light tan upholstery was splattered with dark brown streaks and dots, like a mischievous Jackson Pollock had decorated the car with a spittoon and turkey baster. And I just laughed and laughed some more. Kim is one of the most successful people I've ever known. She is brilliant and driven. She travels all over the world and leads a team of people and kajillion-dollar projects. Like many overachievers, she is an avid runner. She is funny and beautiful, but even more beautiful on the inside. She is also a brand-new mama and has absolutely no idea what her life is about to look like. Ashley explained that a soda had exploded in the car, but I told Kim the actual truth of the matter because she needs to know. Kids, I said. Kids happened to that car. Kim, consider me an expert. Kids and car disasters is one of my many specialties. I've actually had to trade in cars because of my little ones, and I know I am not the only one. I wonder if there is some statistician out there keeping a record of all the stinks of rotten yogurt and old fry mobiles that are traded in every day. My sweet midnight blue Hyundai Santa Fe was the first casualty. It was a mid-size, peppy SUV, perfect for commuting and car seats. I just loved driving it. It was so cute, too, until one uncomfortably hot summer day when the hubs and I were too lethargic to pay attention to a 3-year-old bodacious in the back seat. She was quietly chatting to herself, and Molten Mom just couldn't tear her face from the AC vent to check on her. It wasn't until the car came to a stop and I opened her door to let her out that I noticed a handful of sweaty, permanent markers rolling around in the back seat. My artsy angel had happily scribbled all across her window and onto the 2-foot-square area of tan fabric that covered her door. She was so very proud of her work, blue and black and red arcs and dots as far as her little arms could reach. No amount of magic eraser was going to help, so we didn't even try. The hubs got me a Ford Flex next. It was my favorite car. A gorgeous shoebox on wheels with all the bells and whistles. We even updated to tan leather, and I was in heaven. Unfortunately, little son left a sippy cup full of milk in the third row. Unbeknownst to me, it rolled around and eventually wedged itself firmly under the seat. Baking in the hot West Texas sun, down highways and byways, that milk began to froth, curdle, and ferment. Now, if you've ever had a milk bottle go rogue, you know exactly what I'm talking about. No amount of crawlings in the back ever produced the cup, but every time I opened the door, it was like a giant hairy log of goat cheese slapped me across the face, burning my eyes and making my breath catch. I was not so secretly thrilled when the Stinkmobile was totaled and I ended up with a Cadillac. I didn't get to drive the Caddy long enough for my kids to ruin it, because it was totaled in a spectacular not-my-fault crash on Route 66. After that, I got one of those small Lexus SUVs, but eventually commandeered a Ford Navigator because my kids and dogs got too big for the Lexus. Last summer, coming home from the grocery, the dogs got a little too excited and jumped on the bag containing a gallon of milk and a carton of half and half. When 160 pounds lands on milk jug, the jug usually loses the fight. I have tried valiantly to mop up the milk, but it has gotten into every crack and crevice. No amount of baking soda or vacuuming can get the soured milk stench out of the car. I have been too cheap to take it to get detailed, and keep thinking, how much longer can the smell last? 15 months and counting. That's how long. My precious husband decided to try our luck one more time last spring when he bought me another Lexus for our anniversary. It was beautiful, dark gray on the outside, tan leather inside, fancy on-screen navigation, and a sunroof. Our sweet neighbors were selling it for a new body style, and they had taken meticulous care of it. It still had the new car smell, y'all. Meticulous, I protested. It's just too nice, I said. We can't have nice things, we just can't. My words fell on deaf ears. He bought it anyway, and it was showroom floor perfect for exactly 8 weeks. Then we took it to Abilene to see my mom for the July 4th holiday. We were on the interstate on that lonely stretch between Abilene and Sweetwater when Bodacious began to erupt. Food poisoning, tempered with orange Fanta. I won't ruin your breakfast with the details. Suffice it to say, I needed to purchase new floor mats. After changing my clothes on the road, on the side of the road, I got back into the car and looked at the hubs. I was wiping my arm and hands very carefully with the last baby wipe. I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. We can't ever have nice things. So, sweet Kim, let me assure you, having kids is wonderful. It is the very best thing in this world. It will be hard and beautiful. Sometimes it will even be messy and stink to high heaven. But it is so worth it. And I just know you are going to be an amazing mother. Trust me when I say don't sweat the small stuff. Nearly everything is replaceable. But you might want to consider black interior, leather seats, and rubber floor mats when you get your next car. Melanie Nicholas is a full-time mama and writer. She and the Hubs have two amazing children, Parksalot 11 and Bodacious 8. You can follow her amazing adventures fighting grime and insecurity on Facebook, Instagram, and www.melanienicholas.com. Her column appears in the Midland Reporter Telegram every other week. Jeanette Castanon, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. Poinsettia spread Christmas cheer. Poinsettias are famous for their beautiful red and green Christmas colors and are extremely popular and festive this time of the year. They're available in many local grocery stores and bring so much Christmas cheer. Poinsettias are native to Mexico and can grow up to 10 feet tall when planted in the ground. In Mexico, the plant is known as La Flor de la Nochebuena, Flower of the Holy Night. Poinsettias are known as Euphorbia pulcherrima. Many plants in the Euphorbiaceae or spurge family ooze a milky sap. Many people with latex allergies have had skin reactions when touching the leaves because of this sap. It is advised to keep your pets away from the plant because ingestion of the leaves can cause stomach irritation and lead to vomiting and diarrhea. The poinsettia is commonly thought of as a large flower, but the red showy part is a modified leaf called bract. The yellow flowers are at the center of the bracts, and when these flowers shed their pollen, the bracts will drop. For a long-lasting poinsettia, Find a plant with the least amount of yellow pollen showing. There are more than 100 varieties of poinsettias available. They come in pink, white, yellow, purple, salmon-colored, as well as multicolored. Although these options exist, the classic red still dominates the market. Poinsettias contribute more than $250 million to the U.S. economy. Wild About Texas, Michael Price. Northern flicker is large, noisy woodpecker. Year-round, the northern flicker, Coloptis auratus, is a familiar bird throughout most of the continental United States, including eastern Texas. During the warmer summer months, it will venture above the border into the land of our neighbors to the north and all the way into northern Alaska. As temperatures begin to plummet with the changing of the season, these birds will make the journey southward, inhabiting the western two-thirds of Texas, southern New Mexico, southern Arizona, and southern California. This is an attractive and somewhat colorful species of woodpecker. The back and upper parts are light brown and are marked with small black rectangular-shaped bars of various sizes. The underparts are cream-colored and are heavily mottled with round black spots that are outlined with white borders. The top and back of the head is colored gray, and there is a bright red crescent on the back of the head. The face and top of the breasts are tan, and there is a large black bib at the top of the breast area. Males have a black mustache that extends from the thick, pointed bill. Females look identical to the males, sans the black mustache. In flight, there is a very distinctive and prominent white patch on the rump. Its flight pattern resembles that of other woodpeckers. Several wing beats followed by a recess with the wings folded at the sides, then repeated. This process produces a curvy up and down flight pattern. There is a separate color variation that at one time was thought to be a distinct species until genetic testing revealed that the two forms were in fact one and the same. This less common color form looks like the first. The only difference is the arrangement of the head coloration, which is reversed, and the mustache in the males of this form is red, not black. The northern flicker is a large woodpecker species. It is rivaled in size by only the pileated woodpecker. Northern flickers have a body length of 14 inches and a wingspan of 21 inches. Not only is this variety of woodpecker one of the largest species, it is also the most terrestrial of the dozen or so species that call Texas home. It prefers to live in open spaces where it can forage for its primary prey item, ants. A dietary analysis of this species showed a single bird had more than 3,000 ants in its stomach. It is a noisy species, and many are heard well in advance of being seen, particularly during the breeding season. These birds typically prefer to live a solitary life during much of the year, although they will pair up during the breeding season, with the male and female remaining monogamous. Both sexes build the nest on posts or buildings, or in nest boxes or poles. The females lay anywhere between 3 and 12 white-colored eggs that are incubated by both sexes for up to 2 weeks. The helpless young will remain in the nest for an additional month, being fed by both parents. Most often, pairs will raise only one brood annually, although some pairs will produce 2 litters. Northern flickers are a common bird throughout their range in Texas, and it has a very large distributional range as a species. However, studies have shown that it is slowly declining. One cause of this reduction in the population can be attributed to the presence of the invasive European starling, which competes with the flickers for nesting sites. Regardless of the species, woodpeckers of various types are familiar to most people, even those who do not spend much time outdoors. Perhaps this knowledge is because of the famous cartoon character Woody Woodpecker, who incidentally still annoys me with his laugh, as much now as he did when I was a kid. Egg's color depends on the chicken that laid it. As master gardeners, we learn and then share information with the public on all areas of horticulture. Several years ago, we realized there was a movement across America about learning how things were done by the pioneers before there were the modern conveniences. We created a series of successful classes called Backyard Basics, which included classes on beekeeping and raising chickens, among other Texas A&M AgriLife supports Master Gardens through education and other resources, and they have a poultry department. When you keep chickens, you get quite a few questions. The most common is, do you have to have a rooster to get eggs? The answer is no. Most hens lay an unfertilized egg about every 18 to 26 hours. Another question we are asked is whether brown eggs are healthier than white ones. The answer to that question is also no. The content of the egg depends on what the chicken is fed and how it is cared for. Historically, most eggs sold in supermarkets were laid by leghorns, and they are white. Leghorns were bred to lay a lot of eggs and to eat less food. Therefore, the commercial egg industry loved them. Some breeds lay blue, green, and pink eggs. All chicken eggs start out white and are made of calcium carbonate. These chickens lack any pigment genes, so all of their eggs are white. The brown egg layers have brown pigment genes, and the hen applies a brown dye in the last 4 to 6 hours of the laying process. This dye does not penetrate the shell, so the inside is always white. Americanas, Araucanas, and cream leg bars lay blue eggs. That color is created by a dye applied early in the laying process, and it does penetrate the shell, making the inside and outside blue. Easter eggers and olive eggers lay green eggs as a result of crossbreeding a blue egg-laying breed and a brown one. These eggs are green on the outside and blue on the inside. The egg white and the yolk of chickens that are fed a healthy diet and allowed to free-range, run around and eat plants, bugs, and worms, will be the same as the store-bought eggs you are used to, except the yolk will usually be a much darker yellow, almost orange. When deciding what type of chickens you want to keep, your decision should be based on our extreme temperatures, temperament, and other characteristics, not just on egg color. There is valuable information available at aggiecultural.tamu.edu. If you have further questions about raising chickens, call the AgriLife office in Midland at 686-4700 for more information. Hints from Heloise. Canned biscuits can be turned into instant dumplings. Dear Heloise, my neighbor told me about an easy way to make dumplings, which she said came from your column. Take canned, home-style, or buttermilk biscuits and cut them into quarters, then just drop them into hot broth. Now, how easy is that? It was a real time saver and tasted delicious. Thanks, Heloise. Don C. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Don, thanks for your delightful letter. You also can cut the raw dough in half and drop the pieces in hot oil to make sopapillas. A light dusting of sugar and cinnamon, and you have a nice change of pace for your coffee break. Heloise. Unforgettable coleslaw. Dear Heloise, I had dinner at a friend's house yesterday, and they served coleslaw, which they said was your recipe. Please reprint that recipe for me and others who love coleslaw. Francis S., Findlay, Ohio. Francis, this is a terrific recipe when you want something tasty for a side dish at lunch or dinner. You'll need 1/4 cup vegetable oil, 2 tablespoons vinegar, lime juice or lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon prepared mustard, 1/4 teaspoon celery salt, 2 teaspoons mayonnaise, salt and pepper to taste, a dash of paprika, 1 head of cabbage, about 2 pounds, shredded. Mix oil and vinegar or lime or lemon juice in a bowl. Add prepared mustard, celery, salt, mayonnaise, pepper, and paprika. Mix well. Pour the mixture over the shredded cabbage. Toss and refrigerate. For your information, make this coleslaw recipe a day in advance so the flavors have a chance to blend for the best taste. Heloise. Milk ice cubes. Dear Heloise, I live alone and don't drink milk, but occasionally a recipe will call for it. So I freeze milk in an ice cube tray, and after it's solid, I take the cubes out and place them in a freezer-safe bag, then store them in my freezer. When I need milk, I microwave the cubes in a glass measuring cup, using only as many as needed. Molly May, Brainbridge, Indiana. Frozen beef. Dear Heloise, my husband buys half of a cow in the fall every year, which is then processed, and we package it ourselves. Instead of huge portions of meat, we package it by the amount we'll need for our family. This way, there's never too much or too little. We label the packages and place them in the freezer. This method is cost-effective and waste-free, and if we're snowed in for a few days, we'll be just fine where food is concerned. Nicole in Montana. Recycle right during the holidays. Doreen Womack. Keep Midland beautiful. The most wonderful time of the year can also be the most wasteful time. The amount of trash increases 25% from Thanksgiving to Christmas. You'll get more room in your trash container for real trash when you recycle. From packaging to parties, you can incorporate a few holiday tips in your season to recycle right. Follow these suggestions to cut down on waste. And if you haven't been recycling, consider it as a New Year's resolution and join thousands of Midlanders who know recycling is the right thing to do. Follow these tips to recycle right for the holidays. Cardboard. Cardboard waste is abundant during the holidays, especially now with so much online shopping. Take all cardboard boxes to the recycling container nearest you or to the Citizens Collection Station, 4100 South Smith Road, or BRI Recycling, 26 West Industrial Loop. Take all packaging pieces, bags, and instruction manuals out of cardboard boxes before recycling. Don't forget to break down or flatten the boxes so others can use the cardboard recycling container. You can get four times more into a container of flattened boxes than leaving the boxes upright. Recycle bins. Sometimes the containers get full of recycling, especially during the holidays. Remember, you cannot leave items outside of the recycling containers. The items can blow away and create litter. Please be patient and recycle your items when there is room in the containers. Aluminum. Don't forget to continue regular recycling of aluminum and number 1 and 2 plastics. After all, there is often a lot of beverage container waste from the holidays, and you can help fill it. You can help keep it from the landfill. Packaging. Styrofoam peanuts, packing bubbles, and packing pillows can be taken to a local shipping mailing store for reuse. Formed styrofoam from around televisions or appliances and other product is not recyclable in Midland. Wrapping and tissue. You cannot recycle wrapping paper or tissue paper, but you can reuse it if you take care when unwrapping. Party goods. Use paper plates and cups are never recyclable. Choose a greener option by using reusable plates, bowls, napkins, and utensils. If you must, use paper plates as they are combustible instead of plastic or styrofoam. Plastic containers that food comes in are not recyclable. Look on bottles, cups, and containers for number 1 and number 2. Only those plastic items can be recycled. If you have further questions about what can and cannot be recycled during the holidays, call Keep Midland Beautiful at 688-7745. Dear Abby, daughter's questions unsettle her parents' longtime friends. Dear Abby, my wife and I recently hosted some longtime friends for a few days while they were passing through our area on vacation. We had a fine time reconnecting, although my wife commented after they left that they seemed to have slowed down a bit, to which I responded, yeah, us too, I guess. We just received an email from that couple's adult daughter, with whom we're also friendly, asking about our perception of her parents' well-being. We're not comfortable responding to her very pointed questions about their eating habits, bedtimes, taking of medication, mental sharpness, etc., while they stayed with us. Is this kind of inquiry common today, and do these folks have helicopter kids? Anywhere, USA. Dear Anywhere, if it's common, I am unaware of it. It's the first question of this kind that I have received. Clearly, the daughter has noticed something going on with her parents that has her worried, because the kids are so concerned about their parents' welfare that they feel compelled to ask these kinds of questions. Perhaps they should travel with them so they can supervise. If you choose to answer that email, an appropriate response would be, I think we have all slowed down a little. But if you want to know what your folks are, etc., while they were with us, you should ask them. Dear Abby, years ago, a gentleman wrote to you asking what he should get his aged parents who didn't need another thing. You suggested he write them a letter telling them why he was thankful for them. He wrote you back later telling you he had taken your advice, how much it meant to his father, and that shortly afterward, his father died. I immediately wrote each of my parents a letter listing the things I learned from them and what I cherished about them. It was the perfect, most meaningful thing I could have done for them. They have since passed on. I'm so thankful that I was able to do that for them. I've read your column for about 35 years. It is always respectful and full of common sense. Thank you. Grateful and Cordialine, Idaho. Dear Grateful, you are welcome. I'm glad you picked up on the suggestion and that it made your parents happy. I can think of few people who would not welcome and treasure a love letter if it's sincere. Dear Abby, I lost my hubby after 50 years, and yet I don't cry. What's wrong with me? Grieving in California. Dear Grieving, there's nothing wrong with you. If your husband was ill for a period of time before his death, you may have had more than enough time to grieve his loss as he was slipping away. If his passing was sudden, you may be in shock, which is why your tears won't come. Not everyone grieves in the same way, drowning in an ocean of tears, so please do not judge yourself harshly, or at all.
Hello, this is Becky. I'm reading the Odessa American, Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. This is the front page section. Trustees to consider teacher externships. The Ector County Independent School District Board of Trustees will consider a memorandum of understanding between the district and the Permian Basin Workforce Development Board for a teacher externship program. The purpose is to enable selected teachers to spend 3 to 4 days on-site with local employers to have a better understanding of industry-specific workplaces and translate externship activities to classroom lessons. Supplementary agenda material said. The agreement would be in effect during the summer of 2020. Associate Superintendent of Curriculum Instruction, Lilia Nanez, said this is the first time the district will engage in an externship program like this. We're pretty excited about it, Nanez said. The externships would be open to any secondary school that has connections in the workforce. For example, if you teach journalism, the district might be looking for job shadowing opportunities at the Odessa American or one of the TV stations where teachers can bring those experiences back to the classroom. The same would be true for health sciences or culinary arts. The teachers would shadow a phlebotomist or work in a restaurant, Nanya said. She added that this kind of program has existed in Texas for a few years, but it would be the first time it was offered in the Permian Basin. Teachers would be able to earn a maximum of $700. Nanya said the externship pays $500, but they can earn $100 if they complete a debriefing at the Region 18 Education Service Center, and another $100 if their round-trip commute is more than 50 miles. The board also will consider an amendment to the Oberon Solar Project. Oberon Solar wants to amend its agreement to expand the size of its project from 50 megawatt as listed in their original application in 2018 to 150 megawatt. The state comptroller requires an amendment in any Chapter 313 agreement whenever the scope of the project is significantly increased. Earlier this year, the board approved an appraised value limitation on property for the project. The Texas Comptroller's website said an appraised value limitation is an agreement in which a taxpayer agrees to build or install property and create jobs in exchange for a 10-year limitation on the taxable property value for school district maintenance and operations tax purposes. Trustees also will consider hiring the Underwood firm as counsel for the Oberon. Under purchases over $50,000, the board will consider approving a $195,650 bid from Danny's Asphalt and Paving Incorporated to a new parking lot with 49 new parking spaces and a new basketball court as a new location on the campus at Murray Fly Elementary. Agenda material said the project is expected to be finished in 30 days. Odessa Animal Shelter extending foster time around the holidays. During the holiday season, the Odessa American Shelter is extending one of its programs. Odessa Animal Shelter allows the opportunity for prospective pet owners to host a pajama party, which allows a spayed or neutered cat or dog to spend at their house. Ashley Ontiveros, the interim director at Odessa Animal Shelter, said she came up with Home for the Holidays that would allow people to foster a cat or a dog for multiple nights from December 23rd to December 26th. Nobody should be alone on the holidays, Ontiveros said. That's kind of how we see it. The one thing for us to come in and work during the holidays, but we get to leave here and they, the animals, don't. Even if someone is willing to take the animals home just for 2 days and bring them back, it gives the animals hope. Though not every pajama party ends in an adoption, Ontiveros said she notices a change when the animal comes back. As of Monday afternoon, Ontiveros said the Odessa Animal Shelter has 154 dogs and 25 cats available for adoption. Ontiveros explained there are also 24 puppies. We do see a difference, Ontiveros said, about a cat or a dog after a pajama party. Even a person taking them home for the night, they get a little bit of that social interaction. A lot of animals will come in here scared that they've never had that socialization. Ontiveros said there are many adoptions that happen around the holidays, with the majority of those dogs or cats being adopted for the long haul. She said the most frequent people adopting animals have been couples. However, Ontiveros also said there are some families that bring back their adoption. Toward Christmas, we see a lot of adoptions, Ontiveros said. Sometimes in late January or early February, we start to see some come back. It's not many, but we see some come back. It's normal that some people take on animals, and they don't realize the actual reality of it. We see a lot of adoptions that are actually successful. President signs Conaway VA into law. Two fallen Odessa heroes have been honored by President Donald Trump through the efforts of Congressman Mike Conaway. Trump signed into law H.R. 2334 to rename the Odessa VA Clinic to the Wilson and Young Medal of Honor VA Clinic on Friday. The bill, authored by Conaway, honors two of Odessa's heroes, United States Marine Corps Private First Class Alfred Mack Wilson and United States Army Staff Sergeant Marvin Rex Young. These young men sacrificed their own lives during the Vietnam War in defense of their fellow service members. Both were posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for their heroic actions. Mack and Rex are true West Texas heroes, Conaway said. Both left behind inspiring and heroic legacies that deserve to be honored for generations to come. Renaming the clinic ensures that every veteran who steps through the door will know the names of Mack and Rex and learn of their unbelievable selflessness in defense of our country. I'm extremely pleased to see this bill cross the finish line with the president's signature, and I thank all those involved in pushing this to its completion. While on reconnaissance mission on August 21, 1968, SSG Young's platoon came under intense fire from the North Vietnamese Army, killing the platoon leader. In response, Young instinctively assumed command of the platoon, directing his men into defensive positions to counter the attacking forces. While moving through a hail of enemy bullets, SSG Young repeatedly exposed himself to peril for the good of his fellow soldiers. After suffering a critical head wound and additional injuries to his arm and leg, Young refused to receive care that would have slowed his platoon. Instead, he ordered his men to withdraw while he provided cover fire and was eventually engulfed by the enemy. His actions saved the lives of many men at the cost of his own. On March 3, 1969, PFC Wilson's platoon was ambushed. As squad leader, he set his platoon in a defensive position and began returning fire. When the platoon's machine gunner and assistant gunner were seriously injured, Wilson and another Marine ran through heavy enemy fire to regain operation of the weapon. as they reached the machine gun, an enemy soldier threw a grenade between Wilson and the Marine. Wilson threw himself on the grenade, absorbing that explosion with his own body and sacrificing his own life for his friend. A middle school in Odessa is also named Wilson and Young. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. H. pylori bacteria. Dear Dr. Roach, my 77-year-old aunt, who is in good health, had an endoscopy and was told that her stomach biopsy was positive for H. pylori. She was treated for 14 days. After a month, a breathing test showed no signs of H. pylori. However, I read her biopsy report and it showed secondary interstitial chronic gastritis with plasmacytosis. The nurses at the office said it is due to the H. pylori, but also asked if my aunt had ever had radiation. She has not. Should we be concerned? Does she need a certain diet? AMF. Answer. Helicobacter pylori is the major source of stomach ulcers. It can cause stomach symptoms without causing ulcers. Chronic gastritis is one of those typical changes with an H. pylori infection. Gastritis means inflammation of the stomach. The inflammatory cells usually include plasma cells, which are the cells that make antibodies. Plasmacytosis means lots of plasma cells, which is compatible with her diagnosis. A breath test looks for the urea made by that same bacterial enzyme, urease. It's an excellent way to confirm eradication of the organism. Once the infection is eradicated, your aunt needs no further evaluation and can follow any diet she likes. Man charged with shooting woman in arm, leg. A 53-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly shot a woman in the arm and leg. Ronald Lee Johnson was charged with aggravated assault, serious bodily injury, family violence, a first-degree felony. The reported assault happened at 12:26 p.m. Wednesday in the unit block of Teak Drive, an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. The woman who was shot reportedly ran from the unit block of Teak Drive to a gas station. OPD officers located Johnson driving in the area. The affidavit stated, he was interviewed and stated he had an argument with the woman who was shot but denied shooting her. A friend of the woman picked her up prior to the shooting. The friend stated he waited a distance away as Johnson returned home. He stated he heard a gunshot in the area, and shortly later the woman showed up with gunshots to her arm and leg. The woman was transported to Medical Center Hospital and was treated for two gunshot wounds, which were consistent with her report of being shot by Johnson. Johnson was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He had one bond totaling $150,000 and posted bail on Friday. The probable cause affidavit for Johnson was requested on Wednesday and was returned late Friday afternoon. City of Odessa officials recently began requiring a Freedom of Information request for all probable cause affidavits, which are open records and previously were given out immediately without an FOI. Reports are taken as long as 12 business days when they previously were released within hours of a request. Affidavits are important for reporting facts on crime as they detail what happened before, during, and after a crime. Death notices for Tuesday, December 17, 2019. Judith Ann Kinney, Odessa. Judith Ann Kinney, 79, died Sunday, December 15, 2019, in Dallas, Texas. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. John Edward Lamorand, Odessa. John Edward Lamorand, 87, of Odessa, Texas, died Saturday, December 14, 2019, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Lorenzo Lemos, McCamey. Lorenzo Lemos, 78, of McCamey, Texas, died Thursday, December 12, 2019, in McCamey. Memorial service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Thursday, December 19, 2019, at Eastside Baptist Church in McCamey, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
That's all for today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, a production of the Recording Library of West Texas. You can also hear this program anytime online at recordinglibrary.org or by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555.